Hi, and welcome to another episode of Us Unfiltered. This podcast is your go-to for tackling real-life challenges with a focus on mental health. We dive deep into the heart of mental well-being, sharing raw, authentic stories and insights to help you navigate life's ups and downs. I'm your host, Adrienne Salina. I'm so excited about today's topic because it came from a listener. Yay! My first outreach question. Someone reached out to me and asked, how do I approach a family member who seems to be struggling with their mental health? I gave them some advice, but I also did some additional research so I could provide them with more resources. And as I was, doing all of that, I realized that this is a topic that may not be well covered in the mental health space. We talk about mental health a lot as a culture, which is great. For a long time, it wasn't talked about at all. And then it wasn't talked about enough because of stigma or whatever. But I don't think we prioritize how to approach some of these delicate conversations sometimes. It can be awkward. I mean, let's just be honest. It's extremely intimidating asking someone if they are struggling with mental health issues. So today we're going to be tackling this very difficult topic on how to navigate tough conversations with someone who might be struggling with their mental health and how to talk to friends and family if you're the one who is struggling or maybe in need of support. I do wish I would have had the courage and the knowledge of how to reach out to my friends or my family or a professional and ask for help. You know, I felt embarrassed and I honestly wasn't sure if my problems were real enough. You know, after I did start seeing professional help, I swiftly learned that my problems were extremely real and were much larger and deeper than I had anticipated. But I also say that to say, I wish that my friends and family members had the tools and encouragement to reach out to me because honestly, I needed it and I would have really appreciated it. So hopefully this is information that you can use and you will find helpful. If you don't need it right now, consider the fact that this is maybe information you could use in the future. I do normally do a disclaimer for my episodes, but I don't really feel that it's needed in this content today. However, I will say, please do not take any of this as professional, medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice. If you are struggling with mental health issues, this is just meant to add as additional support, and I always encourage my listeners to please reach out to a professional medical health practitioner or advisor to get the support that you need. All right, how to navigate challenging conversations with others about mental health. First, let's start with a clarifying statement. Communication is the cornerstone of any healthy relationship, but it's especially vital when mental health is at stake. It's okay to be vulnerable and express your concerns or share your needs. Whether you are offering support to a loved one or seeking it yourself, knowing how to approach these conversations can make all the difference. But I want to just come out first and foremost and say, communication is always the key. Do not assume someone's needs and don't feel like you have to hide your own. It's okay to communicate. And that is the number one place to start. Now that we've covered the importance of communication, I want to start with approaching someone who may be struggling. If you have a friend or a family member who may be seeming a little off or showing signs and symptoms of mental health issues, it's okay to feel concerned and it is absolutely okay to reach out. Before we get into navigating these complex and challenging conversations, I want to list out how to recognize some signs of mental health issues in a friend or family member or someone you care about, so that way you know what to be looking for before you start having these types of conversations. This also applies to you if you feel like you're just really struggling and you may need support. You can kind of go through this list of signs and symptoms and self-analyze. And if you feel like one or more of these are really, kind of ding ding, they're tracking with you, then this could really apply to you needing support. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, let's list them out. So number one would be changes in mood. if you notice that this individual is having, you know, severe mood swings, or they're having sudden changes in their emotions, or maybe they're just like suddenly really irritable, that could be a sign that they're struggling with severe stress, or maybe they're dealing with anxiety. Either way, it is an indicator that they may be struggling with mental health. The second one is withdrawal, and I feel like I personally see this a lot, and I have struggled with this one in the past. This means that you've just, you know, you've withdrawn from a lot of your normal social activities, or maybe this person has, you know, stopped reaching out as much. They're not texting, they're not calling, they're not going to group functions. They're withdrawing and they're self-isolating. Number three is sudden changes in sleep and appetite. Obviously, this is going to be hard to detect with somebody that you're not extremely close to, or do not live with, or you don't see very frequently. But if you are close to this person, for example, this could be someone that you live with, or it could be a family member, and you notice that they're not sleeping a lot, or they're sleeping all day, or maybe they are eating a lot, or maybe they're not eating at all. If you are not around this person a lot, I would maybe consider if there has been dramatic weight loss or dramatic weight gain in a short period of time. So for example, let's say you haven't seen your friend in 2 months and you meet up for a cup of coffee and you notice that they've put on a good 30 to 40 pounds, or maybe they've lost 30 to 40 pounds, that could be an indicator of mental health issues. However, err on the side of caution. When it comes to weight gain or weight loss, it could be an actual health issue rather than a mental issue. Use wisdom in how you approach that if you do think that it is mental rather than physical health related. Another one is drop in functionality. That's a fancy way of saying they're struggling with daily tasks. It could look like low work performance, struggling with schoolwork, or even basic daily functions, which leads me into the next one, which is trouble concentrating. That could look like having trouble staying on one task or remembering things properly or even making decisions. The next one on our list is going to be heightened sensory sensitivity. So that means a heightened sense of smell, touch, sounds, taste, and sight. Obviously, this is going to be more challenging to notice in another person or someone that you do not spend a ton of time with. But maybe pay attention if they're jolting a lot in loud environments, or they just seem really stressed by loud noises or bright environments. Another common indicator is apathy. So this is basically someone who could be just lacking motivation, or are totally unengaged, or have no desire to engage in activities. This kind of goes along with the withdrawal aspect, but specifically when someone is apathetic, it's almost like they just could not care. There's no motivation there. This one leads me into feeling disconnected. If someone kind of seems like they're totally detached from reality or from themselves, that is definitely a flag. It's almost like there's no wizard behind the curtain, if you know that expression. There's no real connection to their psychological or cognitive functions. They are acting really out of character. They're not behaving like their normal selves. That is definitely a sign that you should probably reach out to them. There are more signs and symptoms, but I've listed quite a few here for you. And now that I've listed those, I do not want you to freak out. If you are thinking of someone specific and you're starting to panic, it's okay. I'm going to give you the advice and tips and tricks about how to approach this in a supportive and safe way. I also listed all of those out so you could be reflective about your own behaviors and your own needs. If any of those are kind of pinging with you, that's okay. Maybe you need additional support. I'm going to list a lot of different things in this episode today to help you get connected. Let's start with how to reach out to someone you think may be struggling with their mental health. I'm going to give you 4 specific tips on how to approach this. Number 1, location, location, location. I hate to sound like a real estate agent, but this one is so important. It's true. When it comes to reaching out to someone who might be having a tough time, timing and setting are everything. Choose a quiet, private, safe space where you won't be interrupted. AKA, don't ask your bestie in the line at the Starbucks counter if they're struggling with depression. Not only is this putting them in an extremely awkward situation in front of other people, but it kind of indicates that you're not sincere. This is kind of going to be a flippant response. By approaching these types of conversations in a private and quiet location, it not only gives them the space to be vulnerable, but it also shows that you respect their privacy and you genuinely care about their needs. Their response is more likely to be very authentic and real if you give them this respect and this privacy. Number two, use I statements. This is to share your concerns without sounding accusatory. For example, maybe say,
"Brittany, I've noticed you've seemed really down lately, and I'm worried about you."
This way, you're focused on your feelings and your observations rather than accusing them of theirs, which helps avoid making them feel defensive, and it creates a more welcoming environment. Number three, active listening is key. Sometimes just being there to listen can be incredibly powerful. And I would like to remind you that a lot of times when someone is going through a tough time, they're likely internalizing this on their own. For me personally, I tend to have a bad habit of not sharing enough with other people what I'm going through, and then it's like I'm carrying this entire weight by myself. Luckily, I do have some very close friends and family members that I can come to and vent and give them all of these things that are on my mind, but I don't do it enough, to be totally frank. And I say that because I know a lot of people struggle with that because they feel like they're going to be a burden to someone else. So when you give someone the freedom to truly say what's on their mind with no judgment, it can make such a huge difference. And it's important to really listen. Avoid interrupting or jumping in with solutions. I know that a lot of times when people are talking to us that we really care about, we want to immediately help them solve the problem because we care about them. We don't want them to be struggling with this. Obviously, it comes from a good place. However, you're not their therapist, and you're also not always going to be able to resolve all of their issues, especially things that could be deep-seated mental health issues like trauma responses or anxiety triggers, depression or PTSD. Obviously, we want to be able to help give them advice, but really listen to them and give them that freedom and encouragement to not only be honest, but it allows them to feel supported without judgment. And it also gives them their own opportunity to acknowledge their own issues and hear those words come out of their own mouth. You want to be there to give them that freedom to be vulnerable. And a lot of times when you immediately start jumping in with solutions, it can cut someone off and make them feel like they can't be totally transparent. So let them share their thoughts and their feelings at their own pace. When the moment feels appropriate, then you can start to respond and dig a little deeper into the conversation. Which brings me to number four, encourage them to seek professional help if needed. You might say something like,
"Brittany, have you thought about talking to a therapist or a counselor about this? It might help to have someone professional to talk to that can help you navigate these thoughts and feelings that you have in a healthy and constructive way."
Now, let's say you have that conversation and they say something to the effect of,
"Oh, I've tried therapy and it just doesn't work for me."
This would be a good opportunity to remind them that there are plenty of types of therapy outside of just talk therapy. A lot of times when people think of therapy, they immediately think about talk therapy. There are hundreds of different types of psychological and psychiatric and mental health support out there. There's equine therapy, music therapy, there's even air and wind therapy. So there are a ton of different types of way to get emotional support that doesn't have to be talk therapy, okay? Other scenario, let's say you suggest talking to a therapist or a counselor and they express that finances are an issue. And let's be honest, this economy is not fantastic. We're all struggling. If you're talking to someone who states that money is an issue, don't let that stop you from suggesting that they seek support. It's tough when somebody needs emotional support, but they cannot afford therapy. But there are some options and suggestions that you can share with them. One could be exploring free resources. There are several organizations that offer low-cost mental health support. For example, the National Alliance on Mental Illness has a helpline that provides information, resources for referrals, and support. There are also online support communities. There's a platform called 7Cups that offers free emotional support through actually trained listeners and support groups. These can be a really great way to get connected with others who understand what you're going through and can help guide some of these issues that you're facing or that your friend may be facing. Another thing that you could suggest to them would be self-care practices. Encourage them to prioritize self-care. This can include activities like regular exercise, maintaining a healthy sleep routine, staying socially connected, and practicing mindfulness. If you haven't listened to my most recent show, my last episode, The 9 Pillars of Self-Care, I highly recommend listening to that because that would be a great place to start to find advice on complete holistic self-care. You could share that with someone who may be struggling with those issues and give them a place to kind of get started on prioritizing self-care. And lastly, some other suggestions you could share is community resources. You know, help them look into local community centers or religious organizations or schools. A lot of these often provide free or low-cost counseling services that are actually pretty easily attainable. Okay, now let's switch gears a little bit and talk about how to address your own mental health struggles with friends and family. This might feel very intimidating, and I want to acknowledge that if this is you. If you are listening to this right now and you're like, ugh, I'm this person. I'm the one who's struggling. I've known that I've been struggling, and I'm just too ashamed or too embarrassed or too afraid to let others know how I'm feeling. One, I want to encourage you that you are not alone. I see you, I hear you, and I empathize with you. I've been where you are at many, many, many times. Speaking out about what you need is the first and most vital step towards finding the support that you deserve. Honey, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to find fulfillment in your life and not have these dark clouds looming over you all the time. It's okay to say, I'm not okay, and to reach out for help. So just like I did with my last segment, I'm going to give this one numbers for some tips or advice. Number one is choose your confidant and choose this person wisely. Start with someone you trust deeply. This could be a close friend, it could be a family member, it could even be a mentor. But choose someone that you truly trust. Do not let this conversation go to someone that you have an on-again, off-again relationship with. That could be more dangerous to you. But once you find that confidant, someone that you do trust, let them know that you have something important that you want to discuss with them and ask if they can spare some time for a chat. Like we just spoke before, ideally it would be best to choose a place that is private and safe to have this discussion. This not only helps protect you and your privacy, but it gives you a space to feel more vulnerable and less on display. And it also gives this person privacy and respect. You don't want to just like throw all of your mental health issues on someone in a public setting. That could put them in an awkward situation. Just like you want your privacy to be respected, do the same to them. In-person discussions, I feel, are generally better because it does help overcome challenges like body language and facial expression. Definitely try to be in person or over the phone if you can't be in person. I do try to encourage people to avoid using text for these kinds of conversations simply because tone can be hard to translate via text. And when you're talking about something so serious, I think giving it that vocal communication, if possible for you, is best. Obviously, if there's a disability involved, do whatever means of communication is right for you. Number two, be honest and direct. When you're ready to talk to your confidant, be open. Just be honest about what you're going through. You could say something like,
"Hey, I've been really feeling overwhelmed and super anxious lately, and I think I need some help. I don't know what to do."
This type of honesty helps others understand your situation better, but it also lets them know that you're being serious and sincere. The gravity of the situation is going to be taken a lot more seriously when you're just direct. If you go into it being super sarcastic and joking around and,
"You know, I'm just dealing with anxiety, but you know, what's new? That's just life. Who is it?"
They could think that you're just kind of being sarcastic or joking and may not really know the depth of the need. But when you're honest and you're direct, you're being very clear, "Hey, I need help. And I'm letting you know that this is serious." Number three, ask for specific support. And I really want to stress this one because a lot of times when you're struggling with things, you don't really know where to start, but you do know you pretty well. You do know an area that could be a good place to start. For example, if you're struggling with mental health because you're dealing with anxiety about doctor's appointments, because you've dealt with cancer in your life or in your family previously, and you just have all this anxiety about going to the doctor because of this cancerous history, just be flat out and say to your confidant,
"Hey, I'm super anxious about going to this upcoming doctor's appointment, and I really don't want to go by myself. Is there any way that you could come with me?"
That's being specific about the support that you need. If it's a listening ear or help with daily tasks or helping you get connected to resources, let them know what you need. Even if it's crazy serious and you're like,
"I am abusing alcohol and I think I need to join AA."
There's absolutely nothing wrong with being honest about where you're at and what your needs are. If you don't know where to start, then say that. Say,
"I am just really struggling with triggers right now. I feel like very little things are setting me off. I'm either getting extremely sad or I'm getting extremely angry or I'm getting extremely socially overwhelmed. And I don't know where to start."
Tell them that. In any scenario I just listed, you're being specific about the type of help that you need. Like I said, I can't stress that one enough because you really need to be transparent not only about how you're feeling, but what you need so that you can get started on the help. And then number four, just like the last one, and I'm always going to say this, seek professional help. Remember, it's perfectly okay to reach out to a therapist or a counselor. Professional support can and will provide you with the tools and guidance to manage your mental health effectively. And just like I mentioned earlier, if you are struggling with any kind of financial issues and you feel like therapy or professional counseling is not an option for you right now, all of those low cost or free resources I mentioned earlier also can apply to you. Before we wrap up, I want to share some resources that I know can be helpful for both you and your loved ones. Websites like Mental Health America and the National Alliance on Mental Illness offer valuable information and support. Thank you so much for joining me today on another episode of Us Unfiltered. Remember, navigating challenging conversations about mental health, sweetie pie, it's a journey, okay? And it's okay to seek help along the way. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with others who may benefit from it. Also, if you are looking for any kind of advice or support, or just want to share your story, please feel free to reach out to me. I have an email address, usunfilteredpodcast@gmail.com. You can also connect with me on Instagram at usunfiltered.podcast or on TikTok. I cannot remember my TikTok handle right now, but if you search Us Unfiltered Podcast, I will come up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember, Mental health matters, and so do you. Okay, now I'm going to have to look up this TikTok handle because I truly cannot. TikTok handle, I just looked it up. It's at us.unfiltered.pod. I guess I can add this to the blooper reel.